Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, and if you're not angry, then you're not paying attention. Today is Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. Did you miss me yesterday? Eric the Tech, did you miss me yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I want to apologize for the absence yesterday. But you know what? Here's what's going on. We've got a massive investigation, which I'm not going to get into except to say it's progressing nicely. Number one, that investigation involves a very significant arm, tentacle of human trafficking and trafficking of children. And that's all I'm going to say right now. And yes, we have evidence, and yes, we're producing evidence, and yes, it's being fruitful. And the only way that we're able to do this is because of your support, and I want to thank you for your support. Now, that's number one. Number two, Galileo. You've heard of Galileo, of course. It's officially launched. It was effective at 2 p.m. this afternoon. It's effectively launched. Eastern time, that is. Now, that's number two. And if you're asking what Galileo is, of course, it is part of the satellite phone system keeping everyone in communication with each other. Thirdly, I have to confirm a couple of things, but Mike Lindell will be on this program, depending on his schedule. So that'll be coming up, just don't know when, very, very soon. And there's a lot of things patriotically happening behind the scenes. Number four, I'm also going to be serving and will be serving as a conduit on a local level and hopefully a larger than that level, connecting like-minded physicians and frontline healthcare workers together. This platform is, so we can fight against these illegal edicts of the insane. The Gavin Newsom, gruesome Newsom recall. Keep your eye on that. Keep your eye on that. You know how things play out over the next several hours and days. I'm just saying, keep your eyes on that. Let's never forget that our country experienced a coup not on January 6th, but on November 3rd, 2019. And throughout 2020, for the last 228 days, we've been held hostage. All right, having said all of that, yesterday we did not have John Moore. We didn't have a show, so we didn't have John Moore. So for the first hour today, John Moore is going to come on and share with us his information, knowledge, research, and we're going to have a chat. So John Moore, thelibertyman.com. And folks, if you haven't done so already, tune into thelibertyman.com. Go to thelibertyman.com, link in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, and click right there and you'll see click on the link and it'll take you to what you see on the screen. Now, if you're driving and if you're otherwise visually impaired, you're not going to see what I'm seeing. So, but nonetheless, go to thelibertyman.com and click on the show for today, and you can drill down from there and get the archive shows as well. And it's exciting to have him with me. John, how are you, sir?
Wonderful, Doug. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. All right, there you go. You know, the connection's pretty good for you being over in ancient. Where is that?
That's the Alamo.
Okay, I gotta get. Okay. Oh, okay. I can see it now. All right.
That's the Alamo.
That's the Alamo.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Well, that's appropriate. That's appropriate. John, let me get your, real quick, I want to get your take on something. This is from the Conservative Treehouse today. And here it is, folks. Take a look at this. Let me just make sure it's up on the screen. Eric the Tech, can you put it up? And I'm going to get your take on this. Because here's the question. There's a question behind this. So San Diego, California could lose half of their police force from the quote vaccine mandate end quote. There's so much wrong, by the way, with those two words together. It's just, but anyway, 45% are a hard no and are willing to be fired. Now it goes into the details, John, and stuff. And scroll down, Eric the Tech, if you can. Because I think this is, keep going to the picture that, there it is, right there. What this reads is, this isn't an attack on the unvaccinated. This is an attack on the employed. Now, right underneath that, P.S., what are they doing while everyone is overwhelmed and distracted by this? So, John, here's my question to you. All right. You've got half of a police force that's willing to be let go, fired over this. And I would be one of, you know, part of that half if I were on the police force. Is this their intent? Is this the intent of the psychopaths behind this vaccine mandate? And folks, I'm not going to have a disclaimer every time I say that. It's not a vaccine, and a mandate is just a wish, okay? So, a suggestion. It's not a matter of law. But my question to you, John, when you think about this, could this be their intent?
It absolutely could be, Doug. First of all, even though these people are evil and satanic, they're also brilliant. They put together focus groups for anything that comes up of any consequence. Focus groups, which includes legal professionals, psychological professionals, workers in, or people that are very expert in whatever area they might be needing to focus on to achieve their goal. And of course, they did this with the COVID. In order to get the mail-in ballots and steal the election, they had to have something to give an excuse for the mail-in ballots, which was the COVID, of course. Are they brilliant enough and focused enough to have had this part of their plan originally, to have the police departments depleted of half their people? Of course they are. It'd be foolish not to believe that. Never underestimate your enemy. I saw that firsthand in the months leading up to the Tet Offensive, where the general in charge of the Army in Vietnam, he made a speech before a joint session of Congress saying the Viet Cong are defeated, can no longer mount a credible offense on the battlefield. Well, that proved to be exactly the opposite less than 8 weeks later when General Westmoreland made that speech before a joint session of Congress. He and his intelligence people underestimated the enemy when the CIA had given correct estimates. Fast forward half a century. We're underestimating. If we don't believe the communist Chinese are brilliant enough to figure this out ahead of time, we're underestimating the communist Chinese. Grossly underestimating them. That brilliant black woman, Candace.
Yes.
She was on with Carlton, Tucker Carlson, excuse me, a few weeks ago. I guess it's been nearly 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks ago. She said the following, that the entire movement to defund the police, Black Lives Matter and all that, is to create such chaos in these cities that there's a plausible reason to have the United Nations peacekeepers come in to restore order. And she says that, and to have a national police force. That's actually what she said, to have a national police force. So they'll do something that makes no sense in order to accomplish a goal that does make sense, at least for them. Getting back to the original premise, yes, I fully believe that they could have incorporated these vaccine mandates into their goal of destroying the country, and having one more reason to have a national police force. Now, near my hometown of St. Louis is the regional headquarters for the National Police, right at the intersection of Tyson at Antar Road and Interstate 44 in St. Louis County. I was told that by a CIA individual. And I've done my own research independent of him. I've established that This location, by the way, was a World War II ammunition storage and test facility. It's hundreds of acres, a very large area. Washington University used it for various biological research the past number of decades. But I verified independently that a T-1 drop was put in there by the Southwestern Bell, AT&T. A T-1 drop is 500 phone lines. I have personally photographed and observed the buildings being built and the buildings being rehabilitated in there and so forth. So it's coming. Your original question had to do, is it planned? Of course it's planned. You know, what's coming is a national police force. And when that brilliant black woman was on with Tucker Carlson, Candace, she laid out, I've known this for a better part of 20 years, Doug, about the National Police Force. When I first heard it, I was shocked. And that's when I began my investigation.
And you know, John, and I'll just stop you right there. And this is the reason why I picked this article and this, out of all the businesses, you know, out of all the different entities that we could be talking about, it's the police forces. That's why I picked it. And that's why I knew you had the answer to this. But I would just suggest to everyone, and I really mean this, we need to start thinking outside of the box. You know, people are so, you know, mind meld. There's a problem. You know, people are just so deluded or not seeing the bigger picture. And I had just a tremendous, on the same subject, I had a tremendous conversation with a local osteopathic doctor here in my hometown. And this is part of getting like these groups together of physicians, frontline medical workers, frontline police officers together. And so, folks, you know, hold on. You're going to be hearing more about this. But to get back to this. The reason I mentioned this doctor was not just because of the getting the groups together, but John, the statistics that she has compiled against the regulations of the various hospitals that she works at and the administrators, their edicts, their directions. 100, now listen folks, listen to this. 100% of those people in the COVID ward have received the jab. Now, you're not allowed, I have to add this. As a doctor, you're not allowed to ask as a part of the medical history if you received the jab, number one, and if so, when, and if so, which one. But all that data is being compiled in camera. All right. So having said all of that, and one more thing, and the swabs from the tests were found to contain, and this is here in town, but this is also consistent with the Slovakia study, shows that COVID tests are actually depositing graphene oxide with lipid nanoparticles in your body. Period. So, again, think outside the box, and those were some added details that I wanted to add to this story. John, go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, HIPAA regulations don't prevent doctors from asking any health-related question of their own patient that I'm aware of, Doctor.
No, but the hospital administrators do.
Oh, the administrators do.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, the administrator of the hospital says, no, you don't ask. You're not allowed to ask. Bad doctor.
Well, that would be an administrator. That would be an administrator and directly interfering with proper care of those patients. Doctors can't possibly give proper care unless they have a complete and full medical history. They can't. Now, my wife was a doctor. She was a chiropractic physician, and all her clients, patients had to fill out extensive, very extensive medical history forms before she would accept them as a patient. That's true of all doctors all the time. Now, these administrators are setting themselves up for a massive liability lawsuit, directly interfering with standard of care. It's called standard of care. All doctors all the time, whether medical doctors, naturopaths, chiropractors, whatever they might be, they have to have a complete and detailed medical history. They have to. And to interfere with that is wrong every way you look at it. It's just wrong, wrong, wrong. And I doubt that these administrators, if they did, I doubt they checked with legal counsel before they issued these edicts. Because any legal counsel who has any awareness at all of proper medical care and what's called standard of care would advise the administration officials not to do that. It's absolutely foolish, and it can cause great harm to interfere with that. And there's going to be massive lawsuits come out of it. There's going to be lawsuits going on for years coming out of all this, Doug. Many, many lawsuits.
But you know what? Yeah, you're right. But, you know, John, you and I are we're both in professions that require professional licenses, right? The investigative profession here in Pennsylvania requires me to hold a professional license that you know, that's backed by experience, qualifications, training, continuing education. So I'm licensed as an investigator, credentialed investigator. So as you are, or whether you're active or not, you still have to be licensed. Okay, now you know as well as I do that the licensing authority, whoever's over you, or whoever, like here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the oversight authority is the district attorney and their office. Now, it's different in different states and commonwealths, but here. So you know as well as I do that if the DA, let's say it's the same in your area, but if the DA gets a hair up his butt crosswise over you and says, you know what, I could yank your license, but I need some sort of reason to. They're going to look until they find one. And this happened to me back in the 80s until I fought back, and it cost me a lot of money. But it was an amazing journey. I'll just say that. So I guess what I'm saying is, John, do you honestly believe that there's a structure of law anymore with these doctors? And, you know, because most doctors I talk to, with the exception of the older ones, they've got, you know, $250,000 in student loan debt, twice divorced, paying, you know, three times or you know, half their salary to an ex-wife, and, you know, work relentlessly and depend on their jobs in order to feed their families and to pay their bills.
Even pharmacists.
So, yeah.
Saying you can't have this medicine.
Yeah, and yeah.
You're not my doctor.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing too. I'll tell you what, I had a pharmacist, this is a while ago now. I was gonna take out back, okay, you know, and give him, you know, we were gonna have a go, okay, because the pharmacist said, no, you can't, I'm not gonna fill this. And I said, well, I got a, you know, legitimate script and stuff. This is, again, a long time ago. And the pharmacist said, no, this is not the, I'm not going to fill this. I'm not going to. And I said, you're not my doctor. And the pharmacist said, yeah, well, I may not be your doctor, but I've got a right not to fill it. At which point I said, I got a right to beat the living tar out of you.
But, talking through his hazmat suit.
Yeah. Well, it had nothing to do with COVID. It had nothing to do with any of that. But having said that, everything's changed now, isn't it, John? I mean, we don't have any friggin' laws anymore.
Well, let's go back to the doctors themselves and their licenses. If a doctor is given instructions by his boss, the administrative people at the hospital, that would violate standard of care, violate his oath to do no harm, that would clearly put his license to practice medicine at risk. In my opinion, it would. And the doctors should, given the circumstance you just mentioned, which is not that all unusual, one or two ex-wives, a large student loan to be paid off, having their medical license put at risk by violating standard of care is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And
it's also blackmail.
Well, there's another crime
or extortion.
There, isn't it, sir?
Extortion.
Basically.
Not blackmail, extortion. My bad.
If I was a doctor and putting that trick now, medical doctors can get a new job in a heartbeat. And it would be a lot safer for these medical doctors to seek out a different employment rather than put their career, their license, and their income at risk by following the instructions that put their patients at risk. That would be the wise thing to do. And there may be some have done that. I don't know. I don't know the circumstances at that particular hospital. But the right thing to do would be to challenge it with an attorney or to quit.
Let's walk through this. You challenge it with an attorney. Okay. Now here is the same system that says, all right, yeah, mandates, even though we didn't learn from the swine flu BS back in the 70s, even though we didn't learn from that, we know we got embarrassed. But this, we have a system built right now, thanks to a bunch of communists, in my view, that, okay, you get an attorney. If you can find one that'll take your case, and if you can afford that attorney. So you get an attorney to fight the system, a system that is corrupt judges. You can find a judge that'll rule in your favor if you know how to game the system. All right. So the judge is going to say, well, look, it's under the mandate or whatever, perfectly legal, perfectly whatever. They've got the authority to do this. After all, you work for them. You work for this hospital administrator in this case. So they can call the shots. So I guess what I'm saying to you is, this is something I don't believe we can fight this legally, John. And I don't want to be contrarian to you, but I don't think there's a legal answer to this. It's either up yours. We all defy this, including and especially the medical doctors, and we all defy this, or we go down the drain together. Because you're talking about a jab, and again, whether three or four types of jabs available to you, you're talking about a jab that once injected will do your body irreparable harm. So right from that standpoint, if the doctor is unwilling to look at research that bears that out, or either or has looked at it and is unconvinced.
Well, Doug, you moved on to a different topic.
Okay, go ahead.
Shot itself. The topic we're discussing is the administration telling the medical doctors to violate standard of care by getting an incomplete medical record
from the patient.
That's the question on the table.
Yeah, okay.
Not the clot shot itself.
All right. Then let's keep on that vein. I'm just kind of, again, there's like a number of different facets to this depending on how you look at it. So, but you've got physicians that are taking orders from administrators saying you don't record this because you don't want to have this appear as a injection-related event, whether it's a blood clot, whether it's a resurgence of latent cancer. Regardless of it, you don't want to have this appear to be that, because that would have to be coded as such. Yet this is happening en masse here. I can't prove it, but I can have somebody here that will prove it. So what the heck, John? I mean, so by the time you fight it legally,
as you and I both know, because we spent our lives dealing with these courts, these courts take forever to do anything. Everything moves very slowly in 30-day blocks of time. Unless some kind of restraining order was issued by a judge, the legal thing wouldn't really be the way to go. So that would leave the physicians with the alternative of terminating their employment and moving on with their life to go someplace else.
Okay, okay. Now, we move from the police officers to the attorneys, or to the doctors, I'm sorry. So, I'm a great one to change topics, I guess, midstream. So, this federalized police force, isn't this all kind of coming together? It's all related that we're talking about, because now you're talking about federalization of the police forces. And I'm telling you right now, you're 100% right. And when we get that, you're going to lose that community policing or your neighbor who's a police officer for your township, that when they respond, they know what they're responding to. There's a familiarity there. No, you're going to be, there's going to be, multinational overlords enforcing these unconstitutional laws. They don't even know what the hell a constitution is, and certainly not taking an oath to uphold the law. So you're exactly correct in this. This is what they're going for. But you know, so they want to get, in my view, and stated differently, that half of the police force that they're quitting, they're saying, yeah, great, that's what we want. In fact, if we can get more, that would be even better. And so what, so okay, but in your world, what are these unemployed police officers going to do? I guess, or well, should they even say, well, hey, you know what? We're not going to take it. You know, you're going to have to fire me. And so they get fired. You know, it's going to be madness.
Well, most of the officers who have or will resign, you're going to find two groups. You're going to find officers that are in their early 20s with no family, no mortgage, no children. And you're going to find guys who are vested in the pension plan and can leave without great harm. The guys that will be staying behind will be the men who have wives, mortgages, and children support and partly vested in a pension that they don't want to walk away from. That's who's going to be left behind. I don't know that for a fact, but that's my estimation there, Doug.
All right. All right. Well, let's talk about something else, too. Isn't it interesting that the edict, that this mandate said, it's for businesses with 100 people or more. Gee, where did we hear that before? How about Obamacare? Thoughts on that?
Right. Well, the classic in our country, the classic break point between a small business and everything else is 100 or 99 employees, and less is small business, and 100 or more is no longer considered small business. But I was going to mention Obama anyway. Hussein Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. He mentioned a number of times when he was running for, especially the first time he ran, about we needed a force equal to, maybe greater than the U.S. military. And that's never been clearly defined. There's been lots of speculation now for, 16, 17 years about what he really meant. But clearly, obviously, a national police force easily could be as large or larger than the U.S. military, keeping in mind the following. Now, the overall military, U.S. military right now, has less people than we had on December 7th, 1941. I think it's less than 400,000, 350,000, something in that range. Now, the number of warriors we have is much, much smaller. The majority of people in the U.S. military are administrative and support people. The combat warriors we have, you could put all of them in a large college football stadium and probably have, it was a 100,000 foot seat stadium, have 20,000 plus seats empty. All the combat warriors in the U.S. military in one football stadium with 20,000 empty seats. That's reality, Doug. We don't have a very big military. It wouldn't take a very large national police force to exceed the numbers of everybody, all the warriors we have in our military, as opposed to the entire military.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other hand, consistent with that, but conversely, you're going to have about 80 million pissed off patriots with weapons and a whole lot of ammo saying, you know what, we're not going to take this crap anymore if things go sideways. That's my view. I certainly don't want that, but that's what I see taking place. And maybe they're not trained, and maybe there's going to be heavy losses, but there are going to be some that are trained, some military vets, some people that know what they're doing.
Well, I can tell you firsthand experience what's happened in my state here. Last summer of 2020, Antifa visited communities near me. They didn't visit my community, but the community just south of me in Shannon County, the sheriff has 12 men on his sheriff's department. That's it, him and 12 guys. He found out Antifa was going. He called out the militia. The militia was not trained or organized, but it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody, and they all had telephones. And they were all reached by social media and telephone. They gathered at the county courthouse. The sheriff organized them using his 12-man force as the cadre to be leaders for the county militia, who were armed, and they were positioned in the proper places by the sheriff. When Antifa showed up, they didn't even get off the bus, Doug. They did not even get off the bus. And that happened.
Keep on moving. Yeah, that's right. Keep on moving.
That happened in several communities around my area. Now, if there was any kind of crisis where the county sheriff in these counties, we have more than 3,300 counties in the United States. The majority of those counties still have a sheriff with the traditional and statutory power that they've always had for the better part of 200 years. Most of these county sheriffs will do the same thing that's happened in my neighborhood. They will organize the militia. They may, if they already have organization, that would be great. If they don't, it would be an ad hoc organization of using his force, his deputy force, the veterans organizations, retired cops, whoever he could pull together to put together initially a cadre and then a few days later a fully armed militia under the control of the county sheriff, under the command and control of the county sheriff to protect lives and property. That's what these sheriffs will do. That's what their oath of office is, and that's what they've done traditionally now for more than 200 years in this country, Doug. And they'll do it again.
Well, all right. So, you know, Antifa, in my view, or Black Lives Matter, or both, is really a construct of the communist.
It is.
You know, right. So it's part of the communist agenda. So we're, again, so people understand. I mean, we're not moving from topic to topic. We're talking about the same fight, just a different angle of the fight, and a different aspect of it. So okay, all right. So, but we're in the thick of things here, I believe. And did you notice, John, the response by the people? It's starting to get a little bit more vocal. When you've got stadiums chanting F Joe Biden, all right, F Joe Biden constantly, and you're seeing this more and more, or you have this photo op. I love it. Eric Tuck, I don't know. Did you happen to see this photo? I didn't send it to you. It's Joe Biden in a, and maybe you can find it before. It's Joe Biden, taking a photograph with like children and some other people. Forgive me. I think it was in Boise. And they're all wearing Trump shirts and a Trump hat and, you know, MAGA stuff. And the guy didn't even Joe Biden, the look in his eyes, he didn't even know. I mean, he was too busy sniffing out the young people's hair, to really understand what the hell was going on. Did you happen to see that picture?
I haven't seen that, but it's pretty funny. Well, this is a real photograph, not something photoshopped.
No, it's a real photograph from a real video, from a real event. And again, I think it was in Boise. I can't really find it for you, Eric.
I've been to Boise many, many times, and it's a very conservative area, extremely conservative.
Well, and again, but so the point I was trying to make with that is, in my view, you've got some, and talking with people who are in close contact with people like Mike Lindell, who've been blown off. Oh, there was only 500, you know, people at this event. Well, you don't understand what went on to cause that. Okay. Censorship, misdirection, deliberate deception on the part of the left, sabotage, just incredible stuff that you would think that we are at friggin' war right now. And we are, but have you noticed though, the reason I mentioned this is people are starting to wake up and say, wait a minute, wait a second. There's no way this guy was, this, you know, Muppet was voted into office. And it all goes back to, you know, November 3rd. And it all goes back to January 6th. Because the people who responded to November 3rd on January 6th are all sitting in solitary confinement without due process. And speaking of lawyers and the judicial system, what the hell about those people? You know, why aren't we outraged? You know, I'm just asking. I'm just going off tangent here, but that's all part of it, I guess. But go ahead.
Well, these 500 or so men and women that are locked up and in solitary confinement, that's uncalled for. I don't know any details. Have they had a evidentiary hearing? Has bail been set on these people?
No, some. Okay, so they're okay. And you know this as well as I do, dealing with the court system, how you can slow, you've got 180 days. It depends on the area, but you got so many days. I mean, as soon as you're arrested, the clock starts ticking. Now you can be held under certain sections of the newly defined Patriot Act, okay? And you could be held for a period of time that, it's unconstitutional, but nonetheless, they do it anyway because the rule of law has been crapped on by the left and right alike. But having said that, no, I mean, and everything's being slow walked where it needs to be. Some, they're being held under different statutes that, reflect, you know, but no one's talking about the people that are rotting away in jail in D.C. for crying out loud. What the hell? You know, we don't leave people behind. Oh, yes, we do. Like, you know, a few hundred in Afghanistan. Hey, Blinken, by the way, how'd you like that? A grillin by our, senator gentleman from, Pennsylvania, the representative from Pennsylvania. Anyway. So anyway, John, I don't know. Go ahead. If you want to change the subject, I just kind of went off on a tangent.
That's okay. Tangents are fine.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, brother. And I know our time is abbreviated with you because of the schedule this week, and I apologize.
That's okay.
I'm going to give it to you.
No sweat, GI. The fake president gave a speech, I believe it was last Thursday, and, he made reference to more restrictive measures regarding vaccines and traveling and so forth regarding COVID in about 30 days, I think is what he said, which would put us into the first week of October. We need to look at and regard Australia as a possible model, not definitely, but possible. I've been, and I'm sure you do too, I have hundreds, maybe thousands of listeners in Australia. Doug, I'm sure you do as well. And
hey, Ken Yowie. Yes, so I do, by the way.
I've been telling all my listeners in Australia that if you have a friend, a relative, a husband, a boyfriend who works for the police in Australia enforcing these COVID restrictions, you should shame them. You should tell them they're not welcome for dinner. You should tell them that they should hang their head in shame when they're in your presence, that they should apologize for what they're doing and quit the police force. Military people doing the same thing, shame on you for doing what you're doing to your own people. You should be learning a very nice German accent when you enforce these measures. The same thing for American flight attendants, you men and women enforcing mask mandates on these commercial airplanes. You should be learning a very nice German accent also. Anybody who's enforcing mask mandates anywhere in the country, the United States, you should be learning a German accent. Anybody who's responsible for mandating vaccines, you should be learning a German accent also. Part of my ethnic heritage is German. I love the German people. I love their culture. What the Germans did to themselves in the 1930s and 40s is well known and well documented. So why I advocate learning a German accent is because of the insanity, the absolute insanity that took place with the German people in the 1930s and 1940s. It's being duplicated right now all over the world. Not just the United States, not just Australia, but all over the world.
Good point.
And anybody who's part of mandating vaccines, requiring mask wearing, enforcing COVID anything, no matter what it is, shame on you. Learn a German accent because you are duplicating what took place in Germany in the 1930s and 1940s. Shame on you. Absolutely shame on you.
Well, that's shame, and this is my belief, that's shame, whether it's Australia or America. We need to bring that shame a lot closer to, a lot closer to your home, my home. Folks, listen to me, okay? You shame them. You know, isn't it interesting, the vilification of patriots, whether it be the patriots who responded to the call on January 6th. They were unarmed, and, you know, the only person that was murdered on January 6th was Ashley Babbitt, and that was by the Capitol Police. I almost said Communist Police, but what's the difference? So we need to, in my view, we need to ratchet this up a little bit more. The civil disobedience, like you spoke of, right? Yes, we need to do that. But we need to hold these people accountable for the deaths that they're creating. You know, I drove the other day. Well, it was yesterday.
Doug, that won't happen for years.
But it's,
if ever.
But okay.
Today's what, the 14th? 3 days ago.
Yes.
The 20th anniversary of a massive crime that is still being covered up.
True.
It will, and, you know, for if there's any... between your audience and mine, almost everybody knows that what happened on the 11th day of September 2001 was a massive crime that did involve Saudi Arabians flying airplanes into buildings, but it also involved other things, such as the pre-positioned explosives in all three buildings that came down, especially pointing out Building 7, which was not hit by an airplane. I used to say the fires in Building 7 could be put out by the Boy Scouts, but I've changed that. The Cub Scouts could have put out the fires in Building 7. That's how minor that damage was. So point being, Doug, it takes decades for the legal system to bring people to justice.
So we work outside of the legal system, in my view. But go ahead, sir. Continue.
I want to expand on what I said about people adopting a very nice German accent.
Yes,
please. I'm a baby boomer. I grew up. I was born in 1947. I grew up just covered up with information about World War II. The World War II veterans were all young men. I heard the stories, the World War II movies, the books, and everything. And what do we hear from the German military people? I was following orders. What are we hearing from American police and healthcare professionals in this country, healthcare professionals, police in Australia? I'm following orders. I want to keep my job. How German is that? I was only following orders. It's no excuse.
Nope.
And you will be, and you already are, on the wrong side of history, on the wrong side of what's right, when you say to somebody, yeah, I know it was wrong. A police officer in Australia stopping a man driving in his car with his windows up by himself, not wearing a mask. And they pulled this man over. I was only following orders. Well, say that with a nice German accent. Because that's where we are, Doug. We use these German analogies way too much. Adolf Hitler was a bad guy, not nearly as bad as Mao Zedong or Stalin, but he was a bad guy. And he's usually pointed out routinely as the bad guy. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but putting it back on the 14th day of September 2021, in many ways, not always, but in many ways, what's being done on the streets of America, in the hospitals and clinics of America, is duplicating what took place in the Third Reich in Germany, 1930s and 1940s. I was only following orders. Many, many healthcare workers, including the ones that have not resigned or been fired, they know it's wrong. They know the clot shots are wrong. They know that, and they took the clot shot themselves anyway because they want to keep their job. They're giving the clot shots to people they know are wrong, but they want to keep their job. We have too many people putting their selfish self-interest ahead of doing the right thing, Doug. And they got to live with the consequences of that the rest of their lives. If they got the clot shot, their lives probably aren't going to be too long anyway. And I had a meeting last week with an attorney. I've worked with this attorney off and on for, 17, 18 years. Great guy. And I asked him, did you get the COVID vaccine? He says, yeah, I got it. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I had an elevator speech I was going to give you about not to get it, but please, please, sir, do not get the booster shot. And I point out some things on my website, especially the interviews with Dr. Mike Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. You don't get better credentials than that to talk about vaccines. And he's saying straight out that these COVID shots, the clot shots, as I call them, are meant to depopulate the planet. No ifs, ands, or buts. He does not second guess that at all. He says straight out that these COVID vaccines are meant to depopulate the planet. We need to keep emphasizing this over and over. Doug, everybody that we educate, if they don't get the clot shot, that's a life saved. If one of our listeners convinces one person to not get the clot shot, that's another life saved. So on one hand, we're broadcast journalists, Doug, but on the other, we're in the business of saving lives right now with this message. Don't get any vaccination for any reason, not even tetanus, none of them. They're all bad. We're at a point now where American youngsters are getting more than 100 vaccinations before they reach the majority of 18 years old. And look at our country, Doug. More money is spent per person per year on health care in the United States of America than any country on the planet. And we have about 40 or so countries where people live longer, including some third world countries, by the way, none of which come anywhere close to spending the dollar amount per person per year that we do on health care. What's broken, Doug? What's broken with a system that spends more money per person per year on health care than any country on the planet, and 38 or 40 countries, the people live longer than we do? Is something broken, Doug?
Gee, yeah, let me check. It's broken. And you know what? It's intentionally broken.
So it is, by design. You're right.
That's right. So, hey, every doctor out there listening to this, I know I've got quite a few, understand this, all right? If you are on the wrong side of history, and all it takes, doctor, look, I'm not a doctor, but I ask you, you do your own research into this, all right? Not what they tell you. You do your own research into this. And if you still come back and say, oh, you got to take the shot, or there's nothing wrong with it, then you know what? Yeah, start learning Chinese. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, the smart thing is to stay away from doctors. Doug, I'm going to hold up my complete medical record since 1985, which includes all pharmaceutical prescriptions since 1985, and a list of every doctor's visits I've had since 1985. And here it is.
Okay, it looks like a blank piece of paper there, John, to those listening. I can't see. Or is it just, it's one page?
No, it's completely blank.
Okay.
Every medical doctor visit I've had since 1985, every prescription pharmaceutical product I've had since 1985, you just saw it. It was a blank sheet of paper. Stay away from these people. Now, if I'm hurt, I use a chainsaw around the ranch here. If I cut myself with a chainsaw, which that's about as nasty a cut as you'll ever get, I'm headed to an American emergency room, and that's the best place you could possibly be on the planet if you're hurt. Otherwise, I want nothing to do with these people. Allopathic medicine, they can keep it. My wife, Dr. Moore, was a chiropractor. She's deceased, but I have a new chiropractic physician who's a brilliant young man, younger than my daughter, as a matter of fact. And I get my health care advice from somebody who understands the human body, understands health, understands nutrition. I'll give you a good example, Doug. Medical doctor in medical school gets 3 credit hours of nutrition. That's what they get. Chiropractors get 12 credit hours, 4 times as much. And typically, almost all chiropractors, almost all the time, continue their knowledge and research into nutrition. Medical doctors barely know more than a gifted high school student about nutrition. Barely. They simply don't know. And the reason, health is basically 2 things, what you eat and what you don't eat. That's what health is for the most part, Doug. And, of course, there's a lot more to it than that. But for most people, most of the time, it's 2 things, what you eat and what you don't eat. And And being hydrated. Are you familiar with the pinch test, Doug?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you've talked about it before, but
I've talked about that before. I'll demonstrate it real quickly here, but the pinch, I'll hold up my hand, and here's my hand. There's a time delay here. I'm going to pinch the skin. I'll hold it up here so you can see it, and then release it. And then when it goes back flat, which it did, if it goes back flat immediately, that means you're not dehydrated. If it stays tented up after it's been pinched, doesn't go back flat immediately, that means you're dehydrated. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Unless it's a heart attack or you're bleeding out, the first thing an EMT paramedic does when they arrive on a scene of somebody in medical distress, they do the pinch test.
I do that. I used to do that to only good-looking women, but, you know, never mind.
Oh, Doug, I hope you didn't get slapped too frequently.
All the time.
All the time. Maybe it was worth it. Regardless, dehydration is so endemic with American adults. That's why the pinch test is done, unless there's a life-threatening issue going on with a person who's in medical distress. One of the first things they do is the pinch test, dehydration. Now, as much as I know about nutrition, and I certainly no expert, it's only been about 8 or 10 years ago that I came to realize, maybe 12 or 15, that consuming coffee, tea, soft drinks, your body does not recognize those as water. It recognizes those things as food. To stay properly hydrated, you need to drink water. Water is the only way to really stay properly hydrated. I like to put a quarter teaspoon of sea salt in a quart of water, especially in the summertime, to keep the electrolytes in balance. It doesn't taste salty. It kind of smooths out the water, the taste of the water. But this is advice that can help all of our listeners, is to drink lots of water. Water only. None of this. Yep. Other smart water stuff that they're trying to pass off on people, pure water with no sodium chloride in it. No sodium chloride, no sodium fluoride in it is what I meant to say. Sodium chloride is salt. And I was just advocating that. That would be kind of stupid, wouldn't it?
it's kind of funny because I passed right over that. I knew what you meant though, but yeah. Go ahead.
Well, regardless. The premise of this part of our discussion is stay away, at least my opinion, is stay away from allopathic doctors. Up until about 1912, when Carnegie money was used to convert homeopathic teaching hospitals, which almost all teaching hospitals in the United States were homeopathic teaching hospitals around 1912, money from Carnegie was used to convert them by financial incentives to allopathic teaching hospitals. And that's when everything started going south health-wise in this country. The teaching of allopathic medicine, which is the following. Diagnosis, which you're determining symptoms. That's what allopathic medicine does. They determine symptoms. And then you prescribe pharmaceutical products to make the symptoms go away. That's allopathic medicine. Mm-hmm. Homeopathic medicine is diagnose the patient, find out what the reason is the patient has these symptoms, and treat the reason for the symptoms rather than treat the symptoms themselves. It's routine for people your age and my age, Doug, to have 6, 8, and 10 pharmaceutical prescription products they take on a daily basis.
That's right.
Very routine.
Yeah.
When I bought my motorcycle, this has been, 11 years ago, I would have been 63 years old. I got health insurance. I mean, disregard, not health insurance. I got life insurance. And so they sent this nice young lady to my home. She took my blood pressure, my temperature, weighed me and how tall I was and so forth. And I think she took a blood sample. And of course, I filled out the little form which said I had not been to a medical doctor since 1985. And of course, the insurance company thought I was lying. They sent me to a clinic. I had to travel 120 miles one way to a clinic and spend an hour there for a more complete diagnosis. Same results. I'm a very healthy guy. They still didn't believe that. So they sent me to another clinic. It was only a 45-minute drive away, very nice Filipino doctor. And he went through all the diagnostic procedures. And at the end of that, he said, "John, you're healthier than I am. You know, go ahead and go home." And he finally granted me my life insurance. The point being, Doug, the insurance company said, "This 63-year-old man who runs a 100-meter dash in less than 16 seconds and takes no prescription medications, he can't possibly be telling the truth. That can't be possible. It can't." But it was, and it is.
And you know, that's a testament too. And that's why we're very big here, folks, on keeping yourself healthy, making smart choices, because, you know, you've got one body on this trip through the planet, on the planet. Take care of it. And, you know, you can do that.
Doug, I need to interrupt you.
Yeah.
When I was 25 years old, the food I ate at the time, if I continued eating the way I did when I was 25, I would either be a 250-pound diabetic or I'd be dead right now.
I was that guy. I'm telling you, I was that guy. I looked at pictures from 30 years ago. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. You know,
Doug, I did my first surveillance when I was 25 years old. I went to the convenience store. I got a big bag of every sweet snack, tasty cake and pie that you can imagine for my shift on surveillance.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I thought, man, this is great. What a way to make a living.
I'm telling you.
I can be out here in surveillance and eat all this tasty stuff at the same time.
The old Twinkie regimen.
Hostess cupcakes and mm-hmm. little apple pie things. And I don't think I had a banana or an apple in there. Just tasty, sweet stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Thank goodness I woke up and smelled the coffee. Relatively soon. It was only maybe 2 or 3 years later that I started learning about nutrition.
Oh, crap, John. We got to go. I can't believe it. We got to go.
Well,
you know what?
Thank you, sir.
Well, yeah, and I just want to tell everyone, go to thelibertyman.com while you're still here, John. Thelibertyman.com. Go there and download all of the new information you have at the website. Support John Moore. Support him through product purchase and such. But make sure you support John Moore of thelibertyman.com.
Thank you,
John. Thank you very much.
See you next week.
Friend.
Appreciate it.
All right. God bless. That was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, stay tuned for hour number two. How quickly that one went by. Hour number two coming up with Stan Dale. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Stay right where you're at. And welcome back. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Hour number two on this Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. The reason, of course, that we were absent yesterday, unannounced, again, working a large case involving human trafficking and other things, a huge case. And, yes, we will be bringing forth evidence without fail. That's number one. It's really you talk about consuming. It's very consuming. And I'm going to thank you so much for your support, because without your support, we would not be able to do it. I want to, at some point, read some of the, or at least introduce some of the people that have sent mail and email, especially the mail. I want to thank you. The individual who sent the song, I have to contact to see if we can use it. So many things of support. Now, again, thank you so very much for your support. By the way, did you hear about this? This appeared This appeared on a Facebook posting. The U.S. military, and sorry about the Facebook posting, but with, okay, so the United States military made history yesterday, and I'm not sure when this was. If it was today, this was posted. I believe so. So, I'm looking at it. Okay, so yeah, I guess it was today. The U.S. military made military history yesterday when it landed a C-130 aircraft on Highway 287 north of Rawlins. That's not New Orleans, that's Rawlins, during a joint training exercise. Moments after sunrise, the cargo plane burst through the storm clouds to the east of the roadway by 240 miles per hour, 500 feet off each wingtip was an A-10, known as flying guns. A-10s are the Air Force's primary low-altitude close-support aircraft. Until yesterday, the Air Force had never landed a C-130 on a roadway, although two A-10s landed on the Michigan Highway earlier this month. Prior to that, such a feat had only been done in Estonia during the Cold War. Now, here's a question for you folks. One-word question. Why? 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 Again, C-130, wingspan more than 130 feet. Why? Well, let me just say this. Oh, and this is in Michigan, and the person in charge of this said the Michigan landing event. Yeah, we're just a training mission in case of some major disaster. Folks, think out of the box. Think outside of the box. Now, in Europe, granted, they did these tests, and in fact, they are still doing these tests. They did the test, well, I should say not still doing them, but they did the test decades ago in Europe as part of the strategy to deal with the potential loss of airfields during a first strike scenario. Okay, but they haven't done it really since the Cold War. So what's the real reason here? And this coincides with, of course, the identifying American patriots as the enemy. All right. Now, just want to point that out because things are kind of coming together, aren't they? Huh? Is this thing on? Are y'all listening? Yeah. But, you know, even though things are going on, even though we have a lot of stuff going taking place, we need to make sure we take care of business. And part of taking care of business is part of all this is saving money and not paying credit card, the high interest rates on your credit cards, right? That's taking care of business. Have you looked at your credit card statements recently? Have you looked and been shocked at the interest rates you're paying? Have you? Did you know that you could roll all of your credit cards into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? Did you know that? You can, my friends at Lightstream.com/Hagman. Thank you, my friends at Lightstream.com/Hagman. You saved the bacon of a lot of people I know. Yes, you have. You can lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 5.93% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Hey, the rate's fixed, so you don't have to go. It's never going to go up over the life of the loan. And you get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. Take that to the bank, your savings. That's right. Now, here's what my fine friends at Lightstream, here's what they have worked out for you, the listening and viewing audience of the Hagman Report. Here's what they worked out. Just for you folks, just for my listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. Ready? L-I-G-H-T. S-T-R-E-A-M. That's Lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR, including 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Hagman for more information, and you will come over here, and you will send me emails, and you will send me letters, and you will thank me for doing that. All right. Eric the Tech, how we have the man? We do. Drum roll. Studio audience. I'm not kidding. Everyone in the studio audience. Everyone.
Let me prepare you. He's looking good.
Really?
Yeah.
Better than me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man. Doggone it.
He's got you. He's got you today.
Is he in a tux? I can't see you right now. All right. Without any further ado, because everyone in the vast studio audience here, now sit down, people. Sit down. Quit clapping. You know, I can barely hear myself think. All right. All right. Stan Dale from standale.com, and of course, Holly Dale, part of that crew. God bless those two people. They work harder than any two people I know on the planet. Stan Dale, Stan, how are you, sir?
And good morning to you.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be on this planet. Yes, how are you?
Well, when I drink coffee, it's morning, but, you know.
Giddy up.
Hey, I'm fine. Well, and I'm still the dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see if you got spurs on them there boots.
It wouldn't fit my tennis shoes.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
But I love the hat. Indiana Jones. Well, actually, you're more of a cowboy, but that's in this
cowboy
place. Yeah.
Cowboy. Yeah, but well, look at what we're sitting there behind me. I guess you can't see it, that shot. There you go. We've got the Alamo. And I show the show images page, it's the top three things, slide 50 through 52 through 54, have to deal with Governor Abbott in Texas, where I'm from, standing up and saying, it's time to do something. We've got to stop this illegal immigration from Mexico into us. And I thought, hey, what better time to remember the Alamo? 185 years ago, 186 men gave their life there to form the Republic of Texas and stop, you know, Mexico from running the place. And now we have the same problem. They're flooding across the gates. I'm sure a number of them are terrorists as well from other countries, but primarily from Mexico and southern, you know, South American countries. So, yeah, I'm remembering that. And Colonel Travis, you can see in the lower left of that shot there, Colonel William Barrett Travis drew a line in the sand before he closed the gates to the Alamo. And he said, look, all you guys that are standing here that want to stay and fight to the death, cross this line. And 186 of them did, and 186 did die. But they fought valiantly for 13 days. Just kind of remember my heritage, because it's germane to today, what Governor Abbott's doing. And he's got his military uniform on there, which I think is quite appropriate for this. Lord.
You know, if folks go to standale.com, click on the show images page, and take a look at this. It's going to be well worth your time. I thought that 1814 with the flag, I thought that was a notable anniversary, but this is much better. And a message to the globalists out there, the communist scum, even if you're my neighbor, even if you're my neighbor six blocks over, or if you just a message. All right. You better remember the Alamo. You better remember how hard they fought. And yeah, you might get us. There might be another Alamo. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to bleed. That's all. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I agree. It's really time to draw the line in the sand, and all those that are going to be with us and try to reverse what has happened to our country by these invaders in the White House. It's time to cross the line. Get ready. If we don't do that, if we're not unified in that, they're going to pick us off one at a time. So it's time to act now. And
yes, it is. Yeah. And, you know, Stan, it's – I'm just thinking here. If we don't – I guess the only thing I can say is if we don't act right this moment, if we don't act given the circumstances, I mean – Where that line that you talked about, you know, with the men stepping across and saying, "Yeah, you know, count me in. I'm ready to play or fight in this case." If we don't draw that line now, there's nothing that they're going to stop. I mean, there's nothing that they're going to stop at, because they're seeing how far we're going to go. And I'll tell you what, Americans, you know, Biden said, his patience is wearing thin. Oh, man. You got to see 80 million Americans' patients. You talk about thin, okay? Our patience is thin. Go ahead, sir.
You're saying what I'm thinking. It's we're all kind of gritting our teeth and saying it's time to do something here. And so today the rallying call is around Governor Abbott of Texas. Once again, Texas, the Republic of Texas, steps to the forefront to fight for, you know, what is right. And for freedom, I don't know how much longer we'll have it, but you and I, and, you know, people like us that are out there in the internet and movies and things, telling people it's time to wake up. What's happening? That the country is going to kill, you know, what's left of America if we don't step up and do something at the ballot box or other means, you know, executive actions or whatever. So I'm sure that we'll be sharing a place in some FEMA camp or prison camp somewhere, you and I, but we'll be the first ones that they'll come for. But when that happens, you people that have heard this and seen this, you got to know they're coming for you too if you don't do something.
Well, anyway. I got news for them, Stan. They're not going to get me in the car. They're not going to get me in that. And I might, you know, look, I might only be able to take one, two, or three people out with me, but I guarantee you, I'm going to take somebody or a few somebodies out with me. You ain't going home that night. I might not go home. I might die, you know, I might die right there, but you ain't going. And I'm talking to you. Okay. So go ahead, sir.
I understand. Same thing happens at our door, I'm sure. Or will when the time arrives. Okay. A number of things that this, the occupiers of the White House and their backers have been doing that, of course, are killing America. And they've just now, if you look at slide 41, they've just now taken out the Patriot system that they sold to Saudi Arabia or loaned to them to defend them against an Iranian attack, either from the Yemen, you know, Yemeni sympathizers with Iran, or from what might be coming very shortly with the weapons that Iran has gotten from Afghanistan that we left over there for them to get and come attack Israel, and probably some of them come over here and attack us with the Russians and the Chinese eventually. But anyway, you can see there that the Biden administration ordered the military there to remove its most advanced missile defense systems in Saudi Arabia. The 8 defensive Patriot missile batteries were positioned in the Prince Sultan Air Base, approximately 70 miles southeast of Riyadh. Now, that's where the capital is and where Mohammed bin Salman lives, and you know that he and President Trump were made deals when President Trump was in office officially to sell them a lot of weapons, planes, all kinds of things to defend Saudi Arabia against Iran. But now that President Biden doing what he's doing is we're backing support off of, you know, military support and weapons support off of Saudi Arabia, which is forcing them to make some kind of a deal with Iran, who are their kind of mortal enemies, you know, to survive in the region. And this is not good. Now, you know, again, it's the fault of the people in our State Department and those behind, you know, Joe Biden. Anyway, it's read you know, that or
the, yeah, yeah. And I have to say this, Stan, this is not a glitch. This is a feature. I believe strongly going back to the Obama Arab Spring, the power shift in the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia, including Iran. This is just a continuation of that power shift. And don't forget, what's the only thing, in my view anyway, Stan, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what's the only thing that's keeping the U.S. dollar afloat? And that's essentially the fact that the U.S. dollar in the U.S. military assures the free flow of oil from where? From Saudi Arabia primarily into the United States. It's called the petrodollar. So you take that out. What are you essentially doing? You're killing the U.S. dollar. And I had written a piece about that a number of years ago. But the fact is, doesn't this all fall in line? And can't you see, folks, can't you? You can connect the dots. I know you can. There it is, right there. So Biden advancing. I mean, this man... not him, not Mr. Marbles, but the people behind him. What are they doing to this country? They're putting this country on its knees. Gas, where I'm at, Stan, is $3.46 a gallon. All right? So, just saying.
That low grade?
Hey, is that the mid-grade, low-grade? What's the price?
That's the lowest. That's the 87 stuff. The 80, you know, 87, what do you call it? Octane.
Hey, Holly, you got some gas yesterday or today, actually. Guess what time? $4 and 1 cent for mid-grade for us here in Colorado.
Yeah, I think it's $3.97 or something like that for the mid, and I think $4 something for the high octane stuff that I can't afford. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look.
Hi, Holly, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing, Doug?
Good, good. Again, the studio audience is standing and giving you a standing ovation. Just want to let you know that. Can't hear it because
they're all vaccinated and they're all 6 feet apart.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah. Look, the U.S. dollar is weakening like crazy because, you know, the globalists or the countries they control, the people that do the finances and investments there are losing faith in the ability of the United States to defend the flow of oil from the Middle East. Now, by, you know, hurting Saudi Arabia like this administration is doing, they are doing everything they can to collapse the United States and the U.S. dollar. That means that the petrodollar is probably going to be based on either the yuan, Chinese yuan, or a new digital currency when they set up the New World Order. I think ultimately that's what it'll be, is be a digital currency, because let's face it, when the world is taken over by whoever's going to head up the global government, they're going to try to help everyone who is in strife financially, not being able to work for COVID restrictions or, you know, just the economies in various countries. So they're going to say, look, we're going to change over, you know, get rid of the banks. They're the bad guys. We're going to give you digital currency. And Saudi Arabia, believe it or not, have been working on this behind the scenes with Mohammed bin Salman to set up an international digital currency. And people will be able to sign into the New World Order, pledge allegiance to him, and then they can have this digital currency that saves their house and their income and their savings and whatever, and gets rid of the banks. So people are going to be real happy, and we're heading for that right now. And I'm reminded, as Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, look, don't worry, don't think you've missed the rapture. Let me ask you this, I'm paraphrasing, of course. And he said to them, has the Antichrist been revealed yet? And of course, their answer was no. And he says, okay, you haven't missed the rapture. Hang on until the Antichrist is about to be revealed, and know that you're about to leave to safer ground. Anyway, another thing I found rather interesting today yesterday, researching some news here for the show, in slide 50, it says, China says George Soros is the son of Satan. It's an unusual place for that to come from, but I couldn't agree with China more. The rich and powerful frequently collect enemies on their climb to the top, but billionaire George Soros seems to have made more than his share of haters. As part of an ongoing tit-for-tat, a Chinese media labeled him the son of Satan, among other choice epithets. Well, at least we can agree on that with China. Soros is behind a lot of mischief.
So let me get this straight. Okay, where's my scorecard? So, China is calling Soros the son of Satan.
Yes. What's that, the pot and the kettle thing?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's kind of, in my view, it's kind of a battle for who's going to be on top. And that's a, folks, that's a biblical, but also a sexual reference, yes. But if you, and I mean that when you look, oh my goodness, you know, you've got the families striving for the position, okay? And this is what I think this is. That's my commentary about this. Because, you know, why else would, by the way, any commentary from Soros on that? Like, you know, nah, I'm not. I'm just one of his minions. I'm not really his son, or maybe, yeah, you got me. I mean, any comments from Soros? Do we know?
Yeah. I keep looking for horns, but I guess his gray hair hides him. I'm not sure. But sadly, his son stands in the wings to take over when he gets too tired and taken out. As I've said many times, we're going to see here at the height of all these crises facing us, you know, whether the economy of the world failing and nuclear war threat in the Middle East and, you know, invasion threat here. When we see all these things happening, people are going to want someone to solve the problem and stop, you know, the hurt. And, part of what the New World Order is going to, you know, the leader of it is going to say to people of the planet is, look, we know that the Illuminati, the bankers and all that have been ripping you off for years. And, you know, and also we know about these alien abductions, these little gray critters. We're going to get rid of the bankers, the little gray critters, and anybody else that's been afflicting the planet, the people of the planet. We're going to save you. And this is just leading up to this. Soros is one of those millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire bankers, you know, that form the Illuminists of our age. And they're going to get taken down. And look, if you're not clued into this deception, and if you're a conservative, you're going to say, well, that's good. We're getting rid of the baddies. You know, let's follow that. So just beware that the group that controls the planet at that point and does this great favor for you is not your friend.
Peace, anyway. peace, but yet no peace, right?
Yeah, when people cry peace at any price, you know, they don't realize what they're giving up. Mm. Anyway, yeah, yep. That's going to be their problem, not ours. Probably not going to be here one way or another. You know, I miss President Trump, and a lot of us do, because, you know, regardless of the fact that he talked too loud or, you know, waved his arms too much or something, you know, I don't know what they were talking
about. It was mean, mean tweets, that's what.
His mean tweets. Oh, dear, these woke people, they can't take the heat. Anyway, you know, like when he was still in office toward the end of it, he set up the Abraham Accords, which was a deal to get the Middle East, you know, Arabic countries to come together in peace and have peace in the Middle East. And I really thought that, in fact, if he'd had the office now, that he would have gotten this tied together so we have all the Middle East signing that peace treaty with Israel. Sadly, however, he can't do it at the moment. And if you look at slide, I think it's 51. Yes, 51. It's an article about this is a one-year anniversary of the deal he set up to get these ambassadors from Israel and UAE and Bahrain and Morocco to sign. And, of course, Saudi Arabia was dragging its heels at the time. But the day is coming when Saudi Arabia and Iran and the other Arab countries, even Pakistan probably, will sign this peace treaty with Israel. This was started by President Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. I read this week also that Jared is starting some kind of financial institution of his own investment thing, and it's not going to do politics, not going to run for president, and not going to buy into all this. However, his knowledge of the Middle East situation, all the countries he visited while President Trump was in office, lets him be a very valuable tool for the New World Order, because they can call on him and say, okay, what agreements have you made between these various countries? Who do we talk to there? Who, you know, who knows where the bodies are buried? Let's get you in here, advise us, and we'll make a peace treaty with Israel. Now, this probably won't happen. That day won't happen until Iran, at least Iran, possibly Saudi Arabia, but at least Iran starts to attack Israel with nuclear weapons. And that's 1 month away, according to the latest intelligence that's been shared with us on the media. 1 month from now, or less, Iran will try to attack, will attack, but will it be successful? It will attack Israel. And it is a fact. Israel has its own defensive nuclear weapons and some rather interesting new kinds that will fry the Iranian invaders, and it will get rid of the nukes being thrown at them. People of the world at that time, and that's very, very soon, will be saying, hey, look, Israel, let's settle down. Whatever you've got there, these weapons are mighty. Let's have a peace treaty. Let's get rid of these nukes and these things you've used on the Iranians. So there will be a rush to get those people around the table. And that day is coming very soon.
Peace, peace, but there will be no peace. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been warned many times. And it still astounds me that the prophets of God have been able to convey this in writing that got to us thousands of years later and still basically intact until back then. What we're seeing now is though it were a newspaper report to them at the time. Yeah. In slide 46, another thing on the Abraham Accords, another article on it, and you can see as part of the picture there is a picture of the coin that was struck for the Abraham Accords in Arabic, Hebrew, and English. And on the right side, you see that was signed on that coin by Donald John Trump. And if one inclines toward peace, it inclines towards you. And that's written in Arabic, Hebrew, and English. a rather nice looking coin that was struck for that. Sadly, he didn't get to finish it. But
well, wouldn't that the completion of that, wouldn't that hasten the prophecy? Wouldn't that?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty excited, thinking that was what he was going to do. Now, whether you know Mohammed bin Salman or Soleiman Soylu in Turkey, or or revived somehow magically General Qasem Soleimani in Iran, whether any of those three signs the agreement, the peace treaty, it will have to be a peace, a prince of peace in their country, the prince who signs the covenant. So Mohammed bin Salman is a prince. Soleiman Soylu at the moment is not the ruler of Turkey, but he's pushing on the heels of Erdogan very hard to take over. But he won't be a king. And then there's General Qasem Soleimani in Iran, if he is still alive or comes back and surprises everybody that he survived the attack. It might have been one of his devils that was killed over in Iraq. I don't know. The situation is that those three are probably leading to take over and be the head of an Arabic-based, Islamic-based world order. So I don't think that President Trump or Jared Kushner would be the ones who would sign such a treaty and be a prince. It's got to be a prince over a country. And that, I think those three countries here, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Turkey, are the main players of this. Anyway, I digress. But it's a time of prophetic events. And in slide 47, I have a picture of the Jordan River, or in Jordan, the river there. It's not the Jordan River, but it's the river in Jordan. It turned blood red. And if you click on the picture, you'll get a view of both parts of it there, of this river turning to blood. Usually there's some kind of a bacterial, growth or fungal growth that occurs in hot countries. And the algae blooms might be that too. Turn the water red, and it's poisonous to use. And it's this particular river in Jordan runs through the very dry, very hot region of Karak, of K-A-R-A-K, of Jordan. Normally a very clear river, very nice, but it has turned red. Now, the rabbis and students of prophecy in Israel, have been looking at this and various other signs on the Temple Mount, looking for signs of the arrival of the Messiah as they see. And, of course, they don't believe Jesus is their Messiah. Not yet, anyway. So they're looking for the Antichrist, really, who will come and be the Messiah of Israel today. So all these little blood red things and like things that remind them of the five plagues, that Moses brought down through God onto Egypt, is telling them we're close to that. So they're very excited over there about these kind of things.
Ah, the book of Exodus. Okay. Interesting. Prophetic events. Go ahead.
Yeah, in the upper regions of the Nile, in that would be Ethiopia region, I guess, somewhere up in there. There are times when there's a lake up there that turns blood red like this, and it's an algal bloom. And it's kind of a reminder of the plagues of the Exodus that were executed on Egypt and, of course, on the people living there. Anyway, that's happening, and even though it might be a natural event, it was very bad at the time of the Exodus, and it went further than just red-colored water. It caused the death of a lot of frogs and fish and things, and they stunk, and the water stunk, like dead blood.
Right.
So it was a combination of two, but these things are real, and it just underscores the authenticity, historical value of the Old Testament.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, we are now indeed living in prophetic times. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let me just see here. This slide 44 is interesting. We've been watching Lake Taupo, for several years, a couple of decades now, since I was down there and had the dream vision about it erupting. In the last 30 days, these earthquakes you see on that slide, slide 44, these earthquakes are in the last 30 days, and the blue ones, you know, the bigger blue ones are in Lake Taupo and also in Ruapehu, which is just kind of south of that that lake there, Lake Taupo. Look at all these. I think there was, over 100, maybe 150 or so of these earthquakes in the last 30 days. They're the precursors, I think, of much larger earthquakes. And if we get too many of the bigger ones in the Lake Taupo region, it might fracture the floor of the ocean or the sea underneath that to the point that the lid on the Taupo volcano is broken and it erupts. It will do this. I've seen in Dream Vision and some of other Christians that are living down there that Lake Taupo will eventually erupt. So just keep an eye on this. If you go to the GNS, that's Geological Nuclear Sciences Division, like USGS for us, but that's for New Zealand, and you can get a daily report on the earthquakes and the states of the volcanoes. And while we're talking, well,
the proceeding was brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce for the country of New Zealand. Go ahead.
Yeah, saying, please don't come back to New Zealand. Please don't talk about us anymore. It hurts tourism.
Yeah. But there it is, folks. Slide 44. And again, if you're listening to this, go to standeo.com. In addition to the great job Holly Deo does all the time, 24/7 with the headlines, check the show images page there. And that is in particular image number 44 as it stands today. So, wow. Good job. All right, sir.
And look at image number 48. The volcanoes that are erupting today, the red triangles you see are in eruption states now. The orange ones are minor activity. Now, we're going to talk about Etna in a moment in Italy, but you can see all along the west coast of South America and up into the Central American area, a number of volcanoes are active.
Well, let me save your voice for a second here. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Definitely bookmark us on Rumble, or subscribe to us on Rumble, that is. And you can comment, too, when you subscribe. And also on Brighteon, and, of course, audibly all across all platforms, compliments of the Global Star Radio, Satellite Radio Network. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, on this map, I looked at a few things. I check it every week to see what's going on. And most times we have volcanoes and earthquakes attending those volcanoes occurring from, you know, Iceland down South America, whatever, on the great ring of fire or arc of fire in the Pacific. Yesterday I had a look at the little orange ones in Africa. The Oldoinyo Lingai volcano is starting to erupt. Now you say, well, okay, so what? If you click on slide 45, underneath that picture you're looking at, you'll see that it's the volcano at the top of the Ngoro Plateau, which the locals call the Mountain of God, and it's starting to erupt now. Now, it's not a normal volcano. It's a nitrocarbonite volcano, which means it burns, it puts stuff out about half the temperature of normal hot magma volcanoes, but it has been there and in a state of constant eruption threat for thousands of years. So you can scan down that page in the article and see some pictures of the North Crater of the Oldoinyo volcano. It makes a kind of silvery gray magma, you know, or lava flow. But as I said, it's not as hot as normal volcanoes, but it is the Mountain of God, and it's now angry. I think it's been like 20 or 30 years or so since it had an eruption of any sort. But as I say, it's not extinct. It keeps doing its thing periodically, keeping us, you know, alert to what's happening. Slide 43 is, sorry, say again.
No, I that was my exclamation. Wow. You know, I mean, when you look at all of these factors, the way you're putting this all together, oh my goodness. Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me. Let me see if I can find this on slide 32. Slide 32. Let's see where that is. Yeah. Okay. Go to slide 32 and click on that. It opens up the trip that we did to Tanzania, to the Engoro crater where the old Dueño volcano is located. And then on that slide, on that page, click on slide 75, which allows
below the
us
fold
to
there. This, Eric, the tech is below the fold. And folks looking at this, it's below, it's under the, what would you call that? Under
the middle part there, under, yeah, it's, you go down the page a bit to slide 32.
Okay.
And then, yeah, okay. Now if you put your cursor over the top of the red line there, that pathway, and zoom it up, you'll see where this volcano is, the old Oilandai Mountain of God, in yellow. If you just click on that, it'll zoom up, Eric. And this is all connected with the Garden of Eden, this whole thing. Okay.
Mm.
Did he find it?
Yeah.
Click on that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can see at the top of the picture the arrow going down. So anyway, that was the old Dueño Mountain of God volcano.
And relative to that, the Garden of Eden that you've located, and folks, make sure you check that out on standale.com. It would be southwest of there, the way the picture is oriented? I mean, the green area, or no? Give me an idea where the Garden of Eden would be. Or am I just you mute, Stan?
Sorry, what did you say? What did you say?
All right, I apologize. Where in proximity would the Garden of Eden be as you're looking at that image? That photo?
Well, see that, go to the lower left-hand corner of that.
Okay.
Just a second here. I'll get back over there.
Oh, it says right there. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Garden of Eden is in that whole 100 square mile crater with, you know, the rim wall around it. It's the only crater like that, a collapsed volcano that still has an intact wall around it, like the garden, the Gan, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
Interesting place. I encourage people to visit there if they ever get a time, probably before the neighboring countries that are terrorists, Islamic terrorists are trying to tear the country down. And that day is probably soon. I don't know. But anyway, I preserved as much of it as I could in videos and slides and stuff that we took over there at the time.
Oh.
Now, slide 43, Mount Etna. It is still erupting. It hasn't given up. And it's a level 4 out of 5 at the moment. So that's reasonably serious for people living in the area. Just another one of these things, these volcanoes, that's occurring in inhabited areas where you could do a lot of damage. And it's not like, oh, yeah, that's Italy. Big deal. If it happens to Italy, that's their problem. Trade happens all over the world. And we've got such an interconnected set of continents, countries, nowadays, that when one country is afflicted greatly like this, we all suffer somehow. It's not them alone. Excuse me.
I get my pizza from Sicily, so
that would. Do be, you?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do. No, I'm kidding. But no, you make a good point about that. About the trade and about the impact of just one. I mean, we've got more than one angry volcanoes.
Yeah. Now, in slide 40, if you click on that article, we've talked about chemtrails. Those of us that are conspiracy theorists, I guess you'd call us, what the government of this country tomorrow would consider terrorists, a fundamental terrorist or something like that. We've called these chemtrails an effort to block sunlight, to protect the environment. Now, when this was originally proposed by Dr. Teller, whom I worked for down in Australia, it was to be metallic reflecting dust, and high altitude, but still in the atmosphere, to reflect the sun and sunlight various frequencies when it got crazy up there in the sun, which we'll talk about in a minute because it's still doing its thing. But this article, this scientist has said that the ash of coal ash is being used as an aerosol, and he's got peer-reviewed, court-admissible scientific research papers exposing this geoengineering using coal fly ash. The carbon in there, I don't know why it's reflective. It might be various forms of crystalline structures in the ash. But he's saying that that's what's being used now, in these chemtrails. I don't think that I'd like to breathe coal ash because, you know, it'd be a little bit like volcanic ash in that you're going to have sharp crystalline structures that you're breathing into your lungs. And especially in the time of this COVID business, you don't want to irritate your lungs. And I wondered when I read this, if we had been breathing, all of us around here in the country anyway, you know, chemtrail debris, which in this case would have been coal ash with these little crystals in there, which makes some people, you know, more, their lungs more prone to being attacked by a virus like COVID. Anyway, read the article there and see that they are geoengineering using this. It's not a new thought to those of us that are conspiracy theorists about chemtrails, but those that are not aware of this, it's time to have a look. Now, in slide 41, right next to that, there are some really neat pictures. If you click on the picture first in slide 41, you'll see two shots of the same brilliant auroral displays that occurred 2 days ago from an ejection from the sun, an ion flow that you can see coming down at the photographer out of the sky. You can see where they came from. And that's cool, but you don't want to get any stronger than that and be underneath it. Beautiful things. If you click on it, the pictures are, you can enlarge them and see them. But these are very energetic colors that we can see here in what hit the upper atmosphere in the North Pole. And if you click on the text, then you see here other articles, but this one here is talking about what caused these blue and green aurorae. Excuse me.
So, what talk to me like I'm six. What caused that?
Well, this is a very strong emission from the solar wind, from the sun that hit our planet up in our upper magnetic field.
Okay.
And it was a CME, in simple terms, coronal mass ejection. And it was so energetic that, you know, we haven't seen one like this for a long time, for several years. And it's going in line with what I'm saying about the sun. It is starting to be much more active, this solar sunspot cycle, than predicted. And it's surprising the scientists have predicted that because of these sudden bursts that come out like this. And I think we're going to see a lot more of them as we approach the middle of this solar sunspot cycle 25, which would be, let's see, 26. It'd be around 2025-ish, 2024, 2025. Well, it could happen before then, but I think it's going to technically get worse at that point in time.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's see here. Okay, on that same page, during the early hours of September 13th, yesterday, a dark filament of magnetism on the sun exploded. The blast hurled a CME into space and maybe toward Earth. The initial modeling by NOAA suggests a near miss or glancing blow on September 16th through 17th, so that'd be 2 to 3 days from now. The fact that the CME overlaps at least two other CMEs makes unraveling its trajectory tricky. And it says, stay tuned for additional analyses. Now, that's on spaceweather.com, and that link goes straight to that article. Again, you're talking three CMEs, you know, back-to-back here. It's very, very active, and I think it's going to get a lot worse, a lot more surprising as we approach the moment here. Okay, slide 42, what have we got there? Okay, let me just see if we've got that article there. No. Okay. Slide 42. Click on the picture.
Right.
Where is the picture? Did you get the picture?
I got the picture.
It's on mine now. Okay. This was taken late yesterday, and it outlines a region on the north pole of the sun where the solar wind is actually bending out toward us in the magnetic field, like I talked about last week, maybe that's Friday. It was last week. Yeah. This magnetic field is bending around the sun and may actually affect our magnetic field in a couple of days. It'll just hit geomagnetic areas and cause minor storms. People are probably going to be most concerned with that at the moment are people using radio, shortwave radio and things like that. But again, it's one of these things I'm saying here that the sun's, like its surface is starting to thin and allow more of these magnetic filaments down inside the surface there to wrap around each other and flow out into the space around the sun and toward us.
And when is this expected again?
That should affect us in about 3 to 4 days, our magnetic field. Look at the ham radio sites on the internet. They'll tell you when it does hit, what frequencies it's wiping out, making very difficult for communication.
Will that affect our communication satellites at all?
It should, but will it be horrible? I don't think so. But these things have been anticipated when satellites have been put up for this. And you can shield against magnetic storms with various types of metal shielding that will protect your equipment.
As well as EMP shield, would that also come into play here?
Oh, definitely. We're talking CMEs, and we just talked about here a few minutes ago about 3 CMEs back-to-back.
Right.
These can, if they're Earth-directed, and these were glancing blows that will be in the next couple of days, these are not Earth-directed, and from what I can see in the forecast for the next two or 3 weeks, we're not going to see any eruptions coming from the sun Earth directed. As we look behind the sun with these various satellites they have now, we can see that there are no bright, like CME forming active regions on the sun. In fact, look at slide 37, click on the picture. This shows the magnetic field lines coming out of the current set of sunspots that just emitted those 3 CMEs. And you can see in that picture, Eric, click on that. On the right side of it, lower right, that those are the sunspots that create these CMEs and influence our magnetic field. And you can see they're wrapped around toward the sun is rotating toward them, from left to right in the screen. So it'll be about 3 weeks before those are in Earth-directed position on the sun again as it goes around and comes back. The sun rotates at different speeds at the equator and up toward the polar regions. So you see from about 31 days at the equator up to maybe about 28 days at the polar region. So it's kind of swirling things around the surface as it rotates around. It's not a solid body. It's a fluid plasma. Okay.
Roughly 3 weeks.
You'll see those little spots come around on the bottom left of the picture.
As long as it doesn't affect my satellite TV watching time, Leave It to Beaver marathon's on this weekend, and I got to watch that. So, all right.
Well, okay, I think you're safe to watch.
All right.
Dear.
Yeah, but folks, in all seriousness, and Stan, I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to say in all seriousness, EMPShield.com, use promo code Hagman because this stuff is, as much as I joke around, it's really kind of a way to deflect my anxiety because you really need to have this. EMPShield.com and use code Hagman, $50 off. Y'all need this. Y'all need this for your car, your generator, your house. And there's sales for the more you buy, the more money there is off. And if you buy enough, Stan will be paying you. Okay, so, all right, there you go. Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, I know it's very important for us to have these shields now because of these people that occupy our government and are making America so weak and undefended that the major powers other than us, Russia and China, and we're going to include Iran because I think they're going to join in the attack on us, can come in and attack us from the air and the ground because our military facilities have been so weakened by the Biden administration and those who are behind the administration's policies. So I'm saying that it's very, very important to get your EMP shield now. We source all of our parts in America or in Puerto Rico, but not China, so that we can build things, that are foolproof and help our military and our civilian power plants around the country. Now, without giving it away, exactly, we are doing that, and we're working in concert with several government agencies that are still keeping what President Trump wanted to do as far as preparing our military and cities to endure to come out of a CME attack. The people's cities, and there are 120 of major cities in the country that are on the target list for Russia and China, I think a lot of them will hit, be hit with a nuclear bomb, not just a CME bomb or an EMP bomb, but a real nuclear bomb down close and burn them. We're going to lose a number of cities when that hits, and we're going to have chaos in the country, and things will break down, including power from the grid. but power to certain cities who have protected them with EMP shields will be able to supply power back to their community. And at that time, if you've used an EMP shield yourself, you'll be able to have power in your home from your local city supplier. We did a test on the city of Austin with that. So anyway,
fantastic. You know,
yeah, we're doing what we can. There are a number of things that have been invented at the company. We've got a new engineers come in and join Tim to help the military as best I can say. We have to try to keep these guys alert and communicating and being able to do what they're supposed to do in spite of the people in the government, White House at the moment.
And I'm telling you, folks, Stan and Holly Dale, they're going to be in history books someday, what they're doing and what Stan's doing. And I'm not saying that, you know, glibly. I'm telling you, this is important stuff. Now, on kind of a lighter note, I hear, it's my understanding that vacuum tubes and transistors, that's the way of the future. Okay, never mind. That just crashed.
Yeah. Tube radios would be a good thing to have. Tube TVs and stuff, they're probably not going to get all the satellite stuff, but communication is going to be extremely important when the attacks on the United States start.
Yeah.
If you don't know what's happening and who's on your street, whether they're friendly or not, it's going to be, you know, pretty devastating. You've got to be able to know what everybody else, like-minded, are doing and what they're being faced with so that you know that if it's coming your direction, how to line up your defenses. And there are a lot of people, particularly in the flyover country, of the United States that have been prepared for decades. And they will be reconstruction centers after the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians, after they leave, because they've polluted so many of our eastern state cities and our west coast. They will leave because they've got what they wanted out of the United States and consider it junk and not a threat anymore because it has no government. So at that time, there are going to be a lot of little tribes or gangs, I guess tribes is a better word, formed from the survivors. And you want to be able to be one of those and have, you know, things that can operate on electricity and things that can produce electricity, whether it be sun or wind or generators with a lot of fuel stored behind. Anyway, yeah, EMP shield is important.
Yes.
And, you know, you can talk to those of you who've got solar panels. You can talk to your power company that supplies, you know, your grid power and say, look, should we have a long EMP, you know, a solar one? It lasts for hours. It's going to be producing, you know, 50, 60,000 volts on the line coming down to my house. Can I put in an emergency disconnect switch to just pull down outside the house and break the connection so that 60,000 volts doesn't go into my breaker box? Now, our EMP shields will handle that, but you don't want this arc in there, you know, which is now being shut into ground, creating heat in your breaker box. So, you know, because that could cause a fire. So we might think about this as an extra precaution to get permission to have one of those, kind of what they call a knife blade switch that you pull down. We've got one for our solar panel out there that's an emergency disconnect from the grid. I just wanted to tell people that already have the EMP shields. That's what you should think about adding to your system.
Okay. And I don't think it costs you that much. I don't think it costs you anything, right?
Well, you'd have to get a private contractor to do it, electrician, because okay. The power companies usually say, well, okay, we'll give you permission to do it. Let us know when you're doing it. We'll cut the power to your house temporarily while it's being installed and turn it back on. And that's the ideal situation. But
gotcha. All right.
All right. Now, okay, let's go on to some fun stuff here. Slide 38. If you click on the picture to slide 38, we have a picture of a woolly mammoth. A statue commemorating that these people were visiting there in that particular state in the mountains where the bones have been found. And in the article, it says scientists wants to resurrect the woolly mammoth. They just got $15 million to make it happen. Advances in genetics, however, are making resurrecting lost animals a tangible prospect. Scientists have already cloned endangered animals and can sequence DNA extracted from the bones and the carcasses of long-dead extinct animals. The geneticist led by Harvard Medical School's George Church aimed to bring the woolly mammoth, which disappeared 4,000 years ago, back to life, imaging a future where the tusked ice age giant is restored to its natural habitat. Now, therein lies a problem. these people, let's say that they want to make a Jurassic Park, you know, out of dinosaurs and woolly mammoths and stuff. These things all disappeared at the time of the flood. Now, before the flood, several days before the flood, if you wish, these animals were all roaming around in an earth that was 25% smaller in diameter and where the gravity was at least 60% stronger than it is now. And the air was much more compacted and the oxygen was much more plentiful for these big animals to breathe and walk around. That's why they had such big, muscly legs. You know, they had to walk against this heavy gravity. So we're going to recreate or resurrect woolly mammoth here as the first ones they want to try and say, you know, and returning to its normal environment, its normal habitat. Well, to do that, they're going to have to make gravity, you know, 1.6 times greater than it is now, increase the oxygen content several percent and the pressure of it so that they can breathe. Otherwise, their genes were made for that situation. They're going to fall over dead. So, you know, I marvel at the technology that allows them to do that, but they haven't realized that the environment is going to be so hostile that their recreations won't be able to survive in it.
That's, playing God like that? No. And folks, if you really, those who are video challenged, if you kind of squint, just in your mind, picture Dr. Richard Rachel Levine, and you'll get a picture of what a woolly mammoth looks like. So that's compliments of American Tech, by the way. All right. Wow.
All right. Slide 39-ish. Click on the text and get to the article there. SpaceX is now going to take civilians into orbit. They've got people that they're putting on that are not professional astronauts or anything like that. The captain of that, the capsule going up has picked three people to go with him. The flight's called Inspiration 4. And the mission is a multi-million dollar fundraiser for St. Jude's Hospital. Okay. And let me just get to where. Okay. The crew for Captain Isaacman, who is piloting it, includes Haley Arcanoe, a cancer survivor and St. Jude physician assistant, Sean Proctor, a geology professor, and former NASA astronaut candidate, Christopher Zimbrowski, a data engineer at Lockheed Martin. So this is, showing, SpaceX, can start the commercial use by civilians for, get up in orbit and fly around, whatever. It's supposed to give you trust in the reliability of their rockets and their capsules and whatever, and opening up an age, if we exist that much longer as a nation, to space travel as a fun thing, an affordable thing by some of our people on this planet here.
It gives a whole new meaning to space camp, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The other contenders for, government contracts, et cetera, to get into space, like Virgin and others, they really don't have the technology that SpaceX does. And I think that it's because SpaceX has been gifted with a number of technology uplifts, or gifts from NASA and their research, which put them way ahead of the game. And that's how they got NASA contracts, to take loads up to the space station at the moment.
Interesting. So,
Yeah, there's been a big competition between these superpower guys, these super rich guys to, control that market. And there will be a time, I suppose, during the millennial age when Jesus is in control and we might be able to see off world trips to, vacation in other parts of our solar system or beyond. I've talked about this before, but research I've been doing into different types of propulsion for space, dovetail what they're saying on NASA and one of their projects to make it possible to fly your spaceship faster than the speed of light. And I'm involved at the moment in making an air prototype of that with my associate in California, who's a former fighter pilot that fought in Afghanistan. And he's a designer for aircraft and aircraft propulsion systems. So Brian and I are working on this. And
you're one smart dude. You know that, right?
Okay.
Seriously, folks, you know what a treasure Stan Deo is, and Holly Deo, both are treasures to this platform. And I'm going to thank you. We've got about 45 seconds or 40 seconds. I just want to thank you. And we have to remember the Alamo, hence the attire that Sandeo has. And thank you for bringing that up as well. We fight.
Thank you. Yeah, it is a time. Draw the line in the sand and cross over it.
My friend, God bless you. God bless Holly. And thank you so very much for being part of today's show. And I appreciate everything you both do.
Thank you. Bless you. And Holly says thank you. All righty. Bye-bye now.
You can't see it, folks, but there's a standing ovation here for Stan and Holly Dale of our vast studio audience. Sit down, sit down. All right, folks, that'll do it. Don't forget, tomorrow, and well, let's see. Wait a minute. Galileo went live. I'm sorry. Galileo today went live. Make sure you go to Hagmer, link in the program description box. Have a good night, everyone.